And a very good morning to welcome into Wednesday's programme with you right through until 12 midday. Today we're looking at school transport. I think we're going to demystify school transport today. We're also looking at that Athenry chaos which took place yesterday. Is it any better today? We're going to go and speak to a lady indeed who had cancer and it led to a business venture. It's a very interesting story. She joins us shortly. Also, we're looking at presidential campaign for the IFA. We're looking at some new residents going into the Ardrahan area. And we go motoring with Jerry Murphy. That and more between now and 12 midday. Comment lines open 086 38 33 55 3. It's a Wednesday. A very good morning to you. Now, if you want to get in contact with us, those numbers are all your numbers. That's 086 38 33 55 3 if you want to get in contact with us. You can also indeed call us on 091 770 077. And you can also indeed email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. I had a very interesting conversation indeed with Deputy Ciarán Cannon because this whole bus situation, school bus situation for secondary school students is causing a huge amount of anxiety to parents out there. But he kind of demystified it for me and he joins you on the line. Deputy Ciarán Cannon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Can you give me the criteria for the bus transport? You demystified it for me yesterday and we'll demystify it again today. So I'm living in a Tymon, what are my options if I'm living in a Tymon? We'll take that as an example.
Okay, Keith, and thanks for the opportunity to hopefully bring a bit of clarity to what has been a very confusing subject matter for the last number of months, indeed the last couple of years. The school transport scheme is designed to transport young people to school, predominantly in rural locations where they don't have access or they can't either walk or cycle to their local school, and it's been that way for a very long time now.
Okay.
And it's very simple, Keith. The system dictates that if you are attending a post-primary school and you're living more than 4.8 kilometres from that secondary school and you're attending your nearest school, and there are 10 other such children or students living in your locality, well, then you are guaranteed that there will be a bus serving your needs and you will get transported to that nearest school. About a year and a half ago, as a concession to families, which was at a very difficult time, the cost of living was soaring through the roof, and families were hard-pressed to keep the show on the road, the Department of Education, the Minister, Norma Foley, brought a proposal to the Cabinet that this service would be extended to those students who were also attending their second nearest school. So that was extended a year and a half ago, and that extension, it was called a temporary alleviation measure at the time. That temporary measure is still in place, and I suspect, Keith, that when we see the final publication of the review of school transport that's been published very shortly, I hope that that temporary measure will be made permanent, so that if you're living in a rural location in County Galway or indeed any other county, you're attending your nearest post-primary school or your second nearest post-primary school. And bearing in mind that if there are 10 other such, because, I mean, we can't provide a bus for individual pupils. There's a grant available for that if there aren't enough pupils in your locality to dictate that there's a service.
Yeah.
But if you're attending your first nearest or your second nearest, you are guaranteed there will be a seat on a bus to get you to and from school every day.
Okay, so when you say guaranteed, so it's guaranteed for the parents that the seat is there. If they want to take the allocation of the seat rather than bringing them in and out to school themselves on a daily basis,
correct.
That's their decision.
Yeah.
But let me go back.
And
so just let me use just Kilmer, because I think I used Kilmer with you when I spoke to you earlier on this one. So I'm living in Kilmer. There's 20 of us that need to go to school, and I make my first choice. So my first choice could be Athenry.
Okay, so clarifying, we're talking about Kilmer Daly as distinct from Kilmer Portumna. So Kilmer, if I'm living in a Tymon,
for example,
or indeed Kiltulla, and there was an issue in Kiltulla last year, and thankfully now it's been resolved. But I would guess that if I'm living in a Tymon, where I was born and raised, my nearest school is Athenry. I would guess that probably my second nearest school is New Inn. And maybe my third year school might be Loughrea. And it depends on where in that parish you're living. But if I'm living in a Tymon, my nearest school is Athenry, I am guaranteed, bearing in mind, and this is an important consideration, that if there are 10 other such children living in my locality, we are all guaranteed that there'll be a bus serving our needs for the school year.
Now, what school in Athenry then? So if I don't want
Okay, well then that's an interesting clarification, and it's important to clarify that. The bus errand treat each town where we provide school transport, education, sorry, they treat each town as an education centre. So my nearest education centre, if I live in a Tymon, would be Athenry. And I'm guessing my second years would be New Inn. So they don't go down to the distinction of saying, well, actually, we're going to measure from your house to Claren College or to Presentation College or Colossus and Acre.
So the town is the centre.
They're saying Athenry, the town is the centre.
Okay.
And that is the case with Athenry, Tuam, Portumna, Gort, all of our town, East Galway and County Galway towns where we provide second level education. So what happens then, Keith, is every year, Bus Éireann quite publicly requests that parents would register their interest for a school transport service to whatever their preferred school is. And for new pupils who haven't been in the system before, they ask you to register by the end of April. And for existing pupils, then, they ask you to register by the 9th of June. So very early on in the year, Bus Éireann requests that you express a preference for your child to attend a particular school. And then if that school is your nearest school, or indeed your second nearest school, that additional concession, they then set about designing routes that will capture and collect all of those students who have indicated a preference for their nearest or second nearest post-primary school. And then they set about they design the routes, and then they go out to the world of tendering, and they engage with local bus contractors, because about 95% of school transport services across the country are provided by local contractors. Only about 5% have actual Bus Éireann dedicated school buses on them. So they go out to the world of school bus contracting, and they slowly but surely begin to secure services on all those routes. Sometimes, and certainly, Keith, in the last couple of years, that's been becoming more and more difficult because, frankly, our numbers are going up, our population is increasing. But this year they have been successful, and it went down to the wire on a couple of locations, not because of a lack of preparation on the part of Bus Éireann, but because there are, a number of contractors will actually go out themselves and recruit additional drivers, buy additional buses to be able to serve this need. So, but the really important thing to consider here, Keith, is that if you are attending your first nearest secondary school or your second nearest secondary school, you will have a service, and you should have a service. And if you don't have a service, there are anomalies that just arise every now and again. They get through the system. They don't happen on a grand scale. They happen on individual family scales. And when we contact Bus Éireann, they're resolved pretty quickly. That's the situation. And bearing in mind as well, Keith, this is the state, the government, doing their level best to support parents in getting their children to, hard-pressed parents, predominantly both parents out working, to getting their children to and from school every day. About €1,300 per student every year to provide our school transport system. And last year, we reduced the cost of that to parents, as we should have. For example, if you had two or three secondary school students attending 2 or 3 years ago, the normal school fee, you would have paid €650 per annum for that service. That's now gone down to €125. If you've just one student attending, a couple of years ago that was €350. It's now gone down to €75. In fact, the cost of our school transport system has gone from €190 million roughly around 2015 to roughly today, it's about €350 million. So it's doubled, and well over doubled, Keith. And that's a reflection of the commitment to ensuring that every child gets to school every day safely and securely.
But the situation is then, if you take it that I'm living in a Tymon and I can either go to New Inn or I can go to Athenry, but I want my son or daughter to go to Oran Mór, there's no bus to do that.
Number one, number two.
Yeah, but that's why I want to demystify it, because, we're getting all sorts of different stories, but this is the definitive demystified way that the whole system works.
Yes, Keith, and we have to draw the line somewhere. It is not feasible to suggest that if I live in a Tymon and I have just for some strange reason I want to attend a school in Oranmore or Gort or Portumna, that we somehow are
the
taxpayer is somehow obliged to supply that service. You know, that's just completely unfeasible. It would cost an absolute fortune. It would be chaotic to even attempt to organise that. It's really difficult to organise, but it's achievable to get them to their nearest secondary school or their second nearest. And I have a feeling that would be that temporary second nearest alleviation will be made permanent in the upcoming review publication. So that's as far as the taxpayer and the state can go. And sometimes, Keith, and you know, I'm dealing with, and I won't name the location, but there's, you know, it can be down to a couple of kilometres where your first nearest school. You don't want to attend there. You've identified another school, but it transpires that other school is actually your third nearest school. And there may be only a couple of kilometres in the difference between your third and your second. But it is not feasible for...
But the system is the system.
The system is, and it's not feasible to suggest that we extend it to third or fourth or fifth nearest school. Having a service to your first nearest and second nearest education centre. So if you're living in a Tymon and you want to attend either, I'm guessing, UN or Athenry, you choose either one of those locations, you will have a service to either of those locations. If you're living in Kiltulla, for example, some locations in Kiltulla, your first nearest would be Athenry, your second nearest would be Loughrea. Again, if you choose to access either of those services, you will have a service. So that's the state supporting parents and families to the greatest extent possible, Keith. And that is the clarity that we need to bring to this conversation, so that everybody understands how this. And it is complicated. But when you sit down and pore over it and go through it, it's quite clear that if you're attending that first or second nearest school, you will have a service. And I would encourage parents each year, as best they can, to register as early as possible, to register their interest. And if they have a situation where they feel they're not receiving the service that they feel they're entitled to contact Busair, or indeed contact their local public representative. I'm always there at kieran.cannon@rockless.ie. Worked with a number of parents this year, and we solved some problems for them. But ultimately, Keith, it's a simple, clear-cut, well-orchestrated and well-organized and heavily funded service. Okay. Bearing in mind, Keith, roughly 1,300 per year, the parent pays €75 per year.
Just a voice message has come in here. I'll just play it to you just here.
Yeah, sure.
Keith, can you please ask Kieran, how do we in Athenry, in Clarin College, have to accept kids from Tuam or more, and they are refusing our own kids in Athenry?
Does that make sense to you?
Well, this is a completely different subject, Keith. This has nothing got to do with school transport. This has got to do with schools' enrolment policies. And each school has its own enrolment policy. The board of management of that school sits down and dictates, and they publish it. It's online. So if there's an issue with enrolment in either Athenry or indeed in any other location, that's a matter to be taken up with the board of management. Predominantly, I would suspect that a school in Athenry would serve students from Athenry and its environs, the same with school in Tuam or Clare Galway or Gort or Portumna. So, but that's a completely and separate matter from school transport. So if somebody has an issue with the enrolment policy of the school, I would advise them to take that up directly with the principal and the board of management.
All right. Deputy Kieran Cannon, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Comment lines open if you want to get through to us, or send us a voicemail just like that. Keith, why don't the school bus run to all schools if there's only the first and second nearest school are to be accommodated? There are 5 to 6 schools in Galway City and all are serviced. This doesn't make sense, this caller said to us today. Other calls coming in too. I mean, you could talk about school transport all day long, all day, every day. Now though, let me move on today because I want to go to Martin Stapleton, who joins me. And Martin is an IFA presidential candidate, and he joins me on the line. Martin, good morning to you.
Hi Keith, how are you?
Good, thanks for joining us today. You know, you're a presidential candidate in the IFA election, but you led a delegation of farmers in a protest at the Department of Agriculture in Dublin over the delay in making payments to farmers this autumn. Is that a fairly extreme route to have gone immediately?
No, this issue is this issue is around for the last 5 months, I suppose, as part of talking to people over the last number of months with a view to being a candidate in the presidential election in the IFA. I've been amazed at how little people know, how few people know that the payments across the board, the ANC, the new BIS payments, the ECO scheme payments, and crucially as well, the TAMS payments are all severely delayed this year. And when you actually tell people that they're delayed, they're stunned because they have a sense that the payments should be due the same time this year as they have been done, paid every year for the last 20 years.
And why are they not being paid, Martin, then, can I ask you?
Well, the department are given a reason of logistical reasons around putting new software in place because of the change in the new cap.
Software doesn't take forever to put
farmers' views. Sorry?
I said, software doesn't take that long to put in.
And that's exactly what every farmer in the country thinks. So yeah. That's why we're in a system, are in the position we're in right now, where farmers are incredulous at the idea that their payments are being delayed. And the department are sticking to their position that the ANC payment will be paid a month late this year and the other payments 3 to 4 weeks late as well.
So
it's also worth making the point, Keith, that the TAMS, the grants for capital investment are hugely delayed as well. And this is at a point in time when Irish farmers are being hammered, I suppose, for want of a better word, about their inability to meet climate change targets. And the investment that they need and the plans they have and the ambition they have to put in place environmentally friendly infrastructure is now being delayed because the TAMS isn't being delivered on time as well.
Okay, but I mean, it's going to be delayed by a month, so I mean, it is coming the way. But I mean, a month in farming terms can be quite expensive for the farming community. I mean, is it something to do with cash flow, do you believe, or is it just a genuine software issue that they have?
I think you have to ask the department that as regards what the real reason behind it is. I just think that the minister has gone about this the wrong way. If he wanted to change software, he needed to say to himself, how can I change the software, recognising that we have dates here that are cast in stone. He seems to have decided he's going to change any software and talk about the implications of it afterwards. And I think that's something that shows an appalling lack of respect to the farmers that he as minister serves.
But I mean, the minister wouldn't decide to install software. The department officials would decide to install the software, surely, from there. I mean, the government has been in recess for a long number of weeks at this stage. Could not have been done at the beginning of that to ensure that the smooth payment of the payments that are due. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Keith, we're all in the same boat here because it's impossible to understand how a software issue could take so long. When it comes down to it, this is about perspective. The most important thing here from farmers' point of view is that they're paid and paid on time. And how that, such an important date set in stone in farmers' minds could be changed for a detail around software is something that farmers can't understand at all. Part of the reason I led the delegation to the Department of Justice was to highlight to farmers that this is the case, that we're in a situation where these payments are being delayed. And now that that is out and about and every farmer seems to know now, I think that anger is going to get to the minister and it's going to be felt by the minister very, very quickly. And we made the point yesterday that the minister comes every year to the Plough Match. This year held in, starting next Tuesday week in County Leash, that those payments not being paid, that will mean that the minister will have a really difficult time at the Plough Match this year.
All right, Martin, we're not going to solve it today, but there's a solution out there. But thanks for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again. Martin Stapleton, IFA presidential candidate from Limerick. He's big shoes to fill indeed. And we've some former Galway presidents, John Donnelly and Joe Healy, that he has to fill. But we'll see how that pans out today. Do you agree or disagree with the actions taken? And what does it do to you, the farming community? I mean, does it stop you having, you know, to pay for feed or pay for fuel or otherwise as we head in to another autumn slash winter? Let us know, please, to 086 38 33 55 3. We're back and we have a story of a cancer survivor indeed and work. Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's program. We're getting a good few comments in relation to farming. We'll try and get back to that shortly. We will not try. Now, a Galway woman is going to sit, she's sitting opposite me today, and she's going to tell me her remarkable story from cancer diagnosis to a business venture. Her name is Seán O'Malley. She's from Headford in County Galway. Seán, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm really good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Tell me a little bit about your life. When were you diagnosed with breast cancer?
So I was diagnosed with breast cancer 7 years ago, 6 years ago, on my third wedding anniversary, in actual fact. I had found a lump in my right breast, and I had gone to get it checked, as you do with the GP, and biopsy, thank God for the triple check assessment here in Galway, that they discovered what it was very, very quickly. I remember getting that phone call on a Friday morning that the consultant wanted me to come in to see him after the tests. And
you knew
that was
then.
It. I didn't need him to tell me. There was only one
diagnosis.
Yeah.
So from your diagnosis to getting out the other side, it was a solid 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the very beginning, the amount of tests and checks that you're sent for, it's like a roller coaster. You get on this train of recovery and your treatments, and it takes over your life for an entire year. You have surgery, you recover, there's a gap, and then you start your cancer treatment, and it's all planned out basically from day one because of your team and the amazing team that is there with the Cancer Society and everything that they provide as well.
Talk to me though about the first few days. What was that like?
That was very much kind of an autopilot.
Foggy.
And I was just speaking to the lady in reception, in fact, about how our brains can go foggy in these huge situations.
It's coping.
It's a coping mechanism. One of the, I say to all my clients, our brains use a filing system, delete, distort, and generalize. And the delete, I don't need this right now. So the day-to-day, getting up, getting dressed, I don't remember that. There's the details aren't important, because in my head I was busy
surviving,
dealing with this news and processing and that kind of thing.
What I love about it, and I know you're under Mackin Keane and others over there, what I love about it is from day one, it's recovery.
100%.
It's recovery.
Yeah.
So that's the positive then that you can hold on to, because there's loads of negatives.
Absolutely.
But you hold on to that positive. So recovery is used.
100%. And I remember a friend of mine rang me just before I started chemotherapy. And with the best of intentions, she asked me if I had an emergency plan for when I'd get very sick during chemotherapy. And she frightened the living daylights out of me. And on that day, I had a good attitude. And I was like, I had a 2-year-old at home. I was a newly married, just moved to Galway. This was not going to be my last hurrah, as they say. But from that moment, I kind of looked at it and went, this is not going to be my reality. I'm not going to engage in that fear, and I'm not going to engage in that energy. I'm going to be on the side of positive, good news, recovery, all of that good side of things.
So I saw you walking in the door today, and I didn't know who was coming in because I hadn't met you beforehand.
Yeah.
It's like one of these Tommy Tiernan interviews.
I love it.
Yeah, but I have all the information.
Yeah.
I read it last night and I read it again this morning. But once you came in the front door there and you passed threes on the right hand side, you have that positivity look about you.
Thank you very much. It's something that over the years has been cultivated. And
would you have been like that before the diagnosis?
No.
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 Talk to me about showing up before the diagnosis.
Oh.
Before marriage, before coming to Galway.
Oh my goodness.
Give me a brief summary of what you were.
I was a nervous, shaking ball of insecurities and anxiety.
Really?
100%.
I can't imagine you being like that.
And
I respect that you were.
And the amount of people that say that, I was really good at pretending. I was the proverbial swan on the lake going, everything looks good, she's got a job, she did, da-da. But inside, I was turning myself inside out, upside down, insecurities, yeah, everything. That process had started to improve. I'm not saying it was my now husband's fault that I got better, the proud Galway man that he is, but yeah, around that time I started kind of reevaluating and looking at different ways of my mindset and how I could be different in the world.
But you knew that.
Yeah.
And maybe he knew that.
Yeah.
And maybe the new start, the new change, moving to Headford. Where were you before Headford?
I was in Cork.
And that's like, we adopt people from Cork.
I like people from Cork. I'm so impressed that I haven't set it up until now. As Tommy Tiernan says, I'm the president of Ireland, but more importantly, I'm from Cork.
You're from Cork, yeah. She have a ton down there now as well, and if you wore a minister,
I should look at. We have all the good things down there.
I can't give out because I have a sister-in-law from Cork, so I can't give out now about people from Cork. You, we like people from
but
Cork.
But why would you want to? We're amazing.
You are, actually, yeah. So, coming back then to your story then, you were that, you know, what you said beforehand, then you moved to Galway, then the diagnosis. So talk to me about the Seán O'Malley who's sitting in front of me today, the most confident person I've had all this week, if not for 2 weeks. Sitting in front of me, having been on the journey that you've been on, you're a ball of energy and you've taken this opportunity and turned it into a business venture.
Well, yeah, the Seán O'Malley that's here now has been through hell and back.
Yeah.
And the other thing I didn't mention, because, you know, life throws curveballs. When my son was 9 months old, my dad passed away, which was a year before my cancer diagnosis.
Okay.
So I moved my lock, stock and two dogs, never lived outside Cork before, got pregnant really quickly, thank God, have a wonderful son. My dad passed away. I got diagnosed with cancer. Boom.
It's fairly well a roller coaster you've been on.
It's been a humongous journey. And I think, like I was saying to you, not wanting to be that cliche of, oh, cancer's not going to change my life, was the most ridiculous notion that I've ever had in my life. But what I do say now is cancer changed my life, and I am so lucky, because the things I've learned since I've been diagnosed, because it makes you look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. It makes you look at what's really, really important.
So, did it focus your mind?
Yeah.
Or did it untangle your, because you were on the journey, did it untangle that those legs underneath the water?
It did both.
Yeah.
To be honest, because I truly believe in the energy that we hold in things. When you're anxious and upset, it has a physical effect on your body.
Of course it does.
People like Joe Dispenza talk about the effect our thoughts and behaviours have on us physically. And I think when you get into that mindset perspective and how your mindset can actually improve your life and make your life better, all of those old thoughts and behaviours that we're socialised to grow up with,
yeah,
they start to change and you start to look at things a little bit differently. Is that really true, or is that what people just say?
I think it's true.
A lot of it is.
I think you'll take the negative comment better. Sorry, you'll take the negative comment harder than you'll take the positive comment.
Absolutely.
So if you said to me, you're looking mighty, I'd say, that's it all, I'm grand. But if you said to me, you're looking shocking, I'd say, well, to hell with that. Now, why'd she say that? You know, it's, yeah.
And that's the thing. And coming from that anxious place,
yeah,
I would have done the opposite. You're looking great today. Ah, he's only telling me lies.
Yeah.
He's only being nice now because that's not. And this inner dialogue, yeah, because I don't deserve the compliments, the recognition and all of that. Because we create this story in our mind.
Is it an Irish thing?
No.
It's across the world.
I think it's across the world. And I've spoken to an awful lot of people, especially during lockdown. Because I was using apps like Clubhouse, where you can talk to people internationally. And it's a it's a problem everywhere.
But take me from the journey. So you finished your treatment a year on,
mm-hmm.
and then you had this. During that, you had a light bulb. During that journey, you had a light bulb moment, which you took as a business venture.
Mm-hmm.
Take me to your business now.
So the business is Parenting with Purpose. It's a membership for parents that will help them to negotiate the journey that is parenthood. Going back 20 or more years, holy moly, I've worked in childcare, I've worked in creches and been a nanny. And one of the things every parent has said to me is, how come my kids do this for you and they will not dream of it for me? What is it that they respond to you, they don't respond to me? So that was a thing that I had a real keen interest on from very early days. And through that work, I've learned that parents, with the best will in the world, are flying by the seat of their pants. They generally don't know what they're doing and they're trying their best. But what they're trying to provide for their children isn't necessarily what they need. So I'm like a universal translator in between the children's behaviour and the parents, and going, okay, you need to communicate properly and you need to understand what's happening.
So you're piggy in the middle.
I'm piggy in the middle.
And what you do is you make life easier for the family then.
I make life easier. I teach them how to communicate.
I don't mean piggy in the middle in a negative sense, but you know what I'm saying?
In a positive, yeah. I'm a mediator. I'm the Kofi Annan, United Nations negotiator in between the two warring factions. And I allow parents to understand what the children's needs are that they're screaming out for help with.
Perhaps what you're doing is you're grounding the parents so that then the children can understand the parents.
Yes. It's generally the parents come to me because of their children's behaviour. But what it's how the parents are reacting to the children's behaviour and what's that triggering inside of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's how I help the parents as well as the children. So
where can they get details on the business?
I am ShonaO'Malley.com.
H-O-N-A-G-H. O'Malley.com.
O'Malley.com. So I'll be launching the membership course. We'll run over 6 weeks. And it's really reasonable. It's only $13.99 a month.
Mm.
Because I want this to be easy for everybody. You can unsubscribe at any stage. So you come in, you get what you need, and you leave.
Or you stay
for as long as you want. It's really community support based as well.
I'm tight to time, but I think you should go on the school circuit as well.
100%.
Go on the school circuit. Tell them, listen, guys,
I have workshops ready for dealing with and transition into teenage years and how to let them learn and explore in a safe way, because our teenagers and our kids really, really, really need help. And with what's been going on with CAMHS, and we need other ways of helping children with their mental health.
Shauna, it's lovely to have you in studio. Keep that positivity. Very quickly, where did you meet your husband?
I actually met him online back in the day, match.com.
And it matched up where he went.
And it matched up, and we are on our 9th wedding anniversary in just a couple of weeks.
Congratulations to
you
and to him as well. Shauna O'Malley is the name of the... So
ShaunaO'Malley.com
if you want to get further details from there. Shauna, I wish I had loads more time, but unfortunately I have to move on today. But you're an inspiration, and keep it going. And I think the public circuit would be good for you as well.
ShaunaO'Malley.com
for further details. Quick commercial break. We're back. We're going to that Athenry chaos that occurred yesterday. Is it there today? Stay tuned for that and more to come. Very good morning to you. What a positive lady, ShaunaO'Malley.com for further details. Now, let me go to another positive person. Shelley Hurchard-Quinn joins me on the line, because yesterday was absolutely chaotic in Athenry, and we're seeing today the bus from Corundrum National School in Clare Galway via Peggy's in Annadown has stopped, and parents are going mad because of the traffic in Clare Galway. Going back though to Athenry, Shelley, good morning to you. Councillor Hurchard-Quinn, good morning to you. What's the situation?
Good morning, Keith.
What's the situation today with traffic in the area because these works are going ahead?
So far this morning, where the chaos was earlier in the week and yesterday, there's been a slight improvement, only very slightly though, because the alternative route to the diversion, Keith, is being used by HGVs, heavy goods vehicles.
Yeah.
And these are tertiary roads. These are boreens. These are farmers' roads to farm their land. They're used locally for by residents to get from A to B. Sometimes, mostly in the morning and at home time, to get from Athenry, we say, out to Munavé, occasionally, on a good day. But now that we have road closures due to the upgrade of the sewage pipe network here in Athenry, we have additional traffic on these tertiary roads. They're only boreens.
And what's the length? What's the length of time for the? How long is this work going to take? Is it going to take days, weeks, or months?
So this particular road closure is estimated for a 7-week closure. Okay, ooh. One of the main arteries between Munavé and Athenry used locally, and it is a big deal. It's a lot of work. It's an important piece of work, but it is having a huge knock-on effect locally.
Is there any relief roads that can be opened or any other areas that can be opened to allow traffic to go through? Because yesterday and Monday was a basket case out there altogether.
It was, and I was witness to this myself on Monday. I stood at the top of Kilkelly's Boreen and I witnessed it. And it's predominantly caused by, using tertiary roads and HGVs on these roads as well, Keith. So just long story short, we met, 20 of us met with Coffey, Galway County Council and Irish Water and An Garda Síochána yesterday at Courtauld here in Athenry. And we had a conversation in relation to how would one deal with this locally if people refuse to use the diversion route. Now, the diversion route is putting 20 minutes on your journey if you're only going from Fernhill to school and back again, right? And that's not reasonable to ask parents to do, really. It's costing them time and it's costing them money in diesel. And that's not a reasonable thing to do. But unfortunately, it's the only safe advisory that Galway County Council and Coffey Construction will give you.
So you're saying then for 7 weeks they're just going to have to put up with it for the 7 weeks and you'll have a better infrastructure and more environmentally friendly infrastructure for the wastewater and sewage from there. So they really have to suck it and see.
Well, ultimately, yes, that is unfortunately the situation. However, locally, we have come up with a suggestion and this will require buy-in from absolutely everybody who uses this route. The suggestion we have is that if people insist on using these boreens, that they only use them one way from, we say, the Caherain Munavé Road into Athenry.
Okay.
I did forward a map there, a Google map.
I see it in front of me, yeah.
Yeah, so this was the suggestion. It was come to by the residents. We met the stakeholders on all of these roads, as many as we could. And this was the suggestion we came up with.
Well, let's see and let's monitor it over the next couple of days, Shelley Hurchard-Quinn. But thanks, Andy, for joining us today. Sorry, I'm a bit tight to time heading to news. But that's Councillor Shelley Hurchard-Quinn there joining us in relation to that and to Bakel in Athenry. Let's head towards the 10 o'clock news desk. And don't forget, 086 38 33 553 is the text number and WhatsApp number. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Do get in contact.